When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode of the Mind Sculptors podcast is sponsored by TCG Player, your source for all your trading card game needs. Use our link in the description the next time you get your cards to help support the show. Today's episode is also made possible by our Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show directly, head over to patreon.com/themindsculptors and you can become part of the Sculpty family today. Or if you don't want to do any of that, leave a like and comment on YouTube or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as an offering to Algorithm Jesus.
Derevi, eh?
Oh, you know, sometimes you got a bird, sometimes you got a wizard, you know what I'm saying?
And sometimes you put them together and you get a bird wizard.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, like, tell me about this deck a little bit. Okay. We talked about this a little bit. You took this to... Welcome to Mind Sculptors. I'm your host, Callahan. Joining me is a Butfart 69 Imperial Tactician. And,
I really do find it funny that you don't keep these in. So you could just say that I put my name as fucking anything on this thing and everyone would be like, all right, sure. Like, yeah, Ian did that.
Well, so in Riverside.
Yeah.
So it just like records your video, right?
Right.
It doesn't record the name onto video that you download. So it's like I'm the only one who can really see your name. Yeah. But for the
soul observer, but
yeah, I'm the sole observer. But for those people at home, Ian, every week when he comes into our Riverside room, names something but fart something or other, and has been doing that since like the second episode that you officially joined.
I think I've been doing it since I was just a member of the
podcast.
Yeah,
okay,
but it's been like officially happening since every episode since I've been a co-host.
Yes, it's been happening for like 6 months straight though. So it's like,
yeah, at this point I don't even really find it funny. I just, it's more of a flex of like how many stupid names can I truly come up with.
More about the commitment to the bit than anything.
I think that's really it for sure, sure.
But our good friend Ian
hello,
played in Chaos Treasure Series 8?
1X.
1X, okay.
Which is 9 for those who aren't familiar with them.
Oh. IX, dingus. 1X. Fucking.
No, I said what I said.
All right. Well, so you played Derevi Imperial Tactician and it's a pretty interesting deck list, and you finished first going into the Swiss. So tell us about this deck a little bit, because I'm sure people who, the like handful of people who watch our channel but don't watch your channel, which is like maybe 3 people on Spotify, for those people, what is this deck doing and what's kind of the goal of it? And it, you know, people can see it's named My Precious. So tell us about this deck a little bit.
Yeah, so I will have a breakdown of the tournament and a deck tech of this deck on my channel for more like deep going overs of this deck. But the idea was I wanted to build a turbo the One Ring deck. And that's kind of what this deck is, right? So the idea is to get out the One Ring plus Derevi as fast as possible. The closest database list to this version of Derevi is 34 cards different, which if you think about like staples like An Offer You Can't Refuse and Force of Will and Mana Crypt, right? And then you think about things like lands. you start to realize that it is basically like is as far away from that type of archetype as possible. So the idea is that it is like akin to tempo derivi, right? The idea is to get some sort of value engine that you can abuse the tapping for, right? And you really don't need like too many of them, and also it gets a little more complicated when you have too many of them, right? Because at a certain point you start to just like have too many things you want to tap, right?
Right. Too many cooks in the kitchen, perhaps.
Right. Too many cooks putting it. So at some point it's just about that. And then, you know, it's not your father's Derevi list. I mean, we're playing like 17 artifacts that are just pure artifacts, not including artifact creatures, right? So very, very much like I would describe like for Derevi, this is a turbo Derevi deck, right?
Right.
But also playing like a bunch of like really quirky cards like Chromatic Orrery and Shorokai, which actually is like an MVP of the deck and stuff like that. So the original conceit was build around the One Ring, make it the most broken One Ring deck possible. I actually saw the One Ring like twice with the deck, like if I'm being honest, or like three times. The deck just kind of worked even without it. And I should have actually made top four with the deck, but I misread the board state and forgot about a Dauntless Dismantler and went for a safer line that I didn't have to go for and ended up throwing the game because of it. So this deck should have brought me to top four, which is kind of crazy for a deck that's considered like hella outdated by a lot of people.
I mean, like a lot of people think that Bant is just like not playable, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, Derevi is just so inherently powerful, and like you really, really underestimate how insane it is that it gets around Commander Tax and Draenith Magistrate. Like, as good as you think that is, it's better.
It's so much better. Like
in a Bowmaster's meta, right? Which is one of the reasons why there's so few creatures in the deck, right?
Right.
Compared to
so I mean, few 20, creatures, 23 creatures.
Well, for a Bant deck, that's insanely low, right? Like,
yeah.
For the context of the format right now, right? Like, that is not a lot for these color combinations, right? But like green white decks in general are specifically very creature heavy, right? So the addition of blue is just counter spells and tempo pieces. Right. But the idea is that you basically end up in a lock where you have a Deadeye and or an Emile, plus your Derevi, plus one of many different combinations of things that allow you to make more mana than it costs to activate one of their abilities. I say it like that because I made the deck so that there's like, I think like 12 different layered ways of winning with that, because it's not
just the way we like it.
Right. Well, it's not easy to do it in general, right? Like, it's not a clean process to just win with Derevi, right? And then from there, and this kind of brings up my one, I would guess, like, deck building mistake of the deck is I should have been playing Angel's Grace. It is, like, really easy to mess up the win lines if you're not playing Angel's Grace.
Interesting.
So, like, the easiest way to do it is, like, it also opens up instant speed win lines, right? So the idea is that you... So if you have Kinnan on board, or if you're drawing your whole deck and stuff like that, or if you've got any ways to like make that happen specifically,
right?
You flip until you get Fairy Mastermind, play Fairy Mastermind, have everybody draw their entire decks. If you have the Angel's Grace, you have an uncounterable way of happen, right? Mm-hmm. Without Angel's Grace, you don't really have an instant speed line. You can tap everybody down, but like as everybody knows who's seen Derevi in the past, like it's a little awkward to have that work. Yeah, I mean, honestly, one of my main win conditions in the deck when I have infinite flickers is other people's Orcish Bowmasters.
That's funny.
Like I have won, I want to say since playing the deck for the first time, which I think is only like 9-10 games at this point, maybe, but between like 10 and 15 games, right. I think I've won at least 5 of those games by making infinite mana and then flickering to copy someone's Bowmasters to kill the table.
But like, honestly, doesn't feel unreasonable to play Thassa's Oracle in this deck, honestly.
I don't think you need it. I'd rather play Angel's Grace and Fairy Mastermind.
Yeah. That's fair. Definitely, like, it's definitely interesting. I like this deck a lot, and I like to see, like, Bant kind of getting some, like, doing something different, which is really neat. Yeah. One of the things that I've talked about a lot on this podcast before, and I'm kind of curious what was your experience with this, is my experience with Bant is that it generally, the colors naturally want to pull you in a certain direction, right? So it's like, depending on what your main color is, drastically shapes how the deck plays. Sure. So if you lean green, you're probably going to be playing less certain cards. If you lean blue, you're going to be pulling back on other pieces of it. Or if you lean white, you're going to be pulling back on other parts of it. And so right. there's like this inherent tension between mm-hmm. like what, how blue, I think the way that I generally put it is like blue wants to be on the stack.
Yeah.
And green generally wants to be on the field.
Yeah.
Agreed. Or yeah. green white wants to be on the stack and green blue wants to be on the, or green blue wants to be on the stack. Yeah. You got what I'm saying.
That's exactly it. I think historically Derevi has been a Selesnya plus blue deck.
Yeah.
My deck is definitely a Simic plus white deck, right? Yeah. Like it is pretty explicitly that. And it's like kind of clear when you like look through the deck and start to break it down. I'm just like, I think this is the deck I've been most proud of in a really long time. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a deck that's existed, right? Like it's not like the tools haven't been there to make this build, right? The One Ring obviously changed it, right? It's been out for like 6 months now. But I think it's just like, I don't know. I think it is hard to feel like you truly like innovate something in CEDH, and I feel really good about what this deck feels like as far as that definition.
Yeah.
Like this does not feel like anything that I've seen before. So
this build makes me want to revisit Arden Thrasios mm-hmm. specifically because it's like the one Arden deck outside of Arden, Arden Silas that I'm like, yeah. I know if I can figure it out, it would absolutely work. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing that I've talked about a lot is the inherent tension between green, white and green, blue. Yeah. And what you have here is like a really good like groundwork, I feel mm-hmm. like, for what you kind of want to do in that deck. And you almost right. have a lot of the same principles that you would be applying to in this. Mm-hmm. The only difference is you're doing that stuff with like what's it called? Devoted Druid lines.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like some of the lines you do here. Mm-hmm. So it's very, and then you have the mana outlet in the command, mm-hmm. which is interesting. So,
It's supposed to like the infinite mana enabler in the command, which is what Drevi is.
Right? Yeah. But yeah, no, I think this is really cool. I like the direction you went with this and was glad to see you do well on set.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I was very happy to take the deck. I did not expect to end the Swiss in first spot with
right.
That was very surprising for me. Not that I just think like the deck is like solid and it overperformed in my opinion. And makes me want to like keep working on it, right? Like I definitely work on decks and like do decently with them and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that was like a fun gimmick," right? Whereas right. this is like, "Oh, like this is
sleeker. This feels like it has legs."
Yeah, I think Derevi's activated ability specifically is like, I mean, actually, just everything, every piece of text on Derevi
is broken.
Except for the deficits of the colors. Yeah, for sure. Like, I think that's exactly it.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the cards that I know I'm on Flesh Duplicate right now, but mm-hmm. Derevi is like everybody who's ever played with it in a casual setting can tell you how much they hate it. Everybody like the card is just inherently broken. And I think that it's very I like that we're seeing some of these commanders that maybe you don't think of are like obviously like they don't have the obvious wins, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. You know what I mean? Like the blue black decks have a really easy time with it, or the blue red decks have a really easy time with it.
Well, right. And that was a big part of the deck building process for me is like, I've gotten a couple of questions already about some of the inclusions and stuff like that for this deck, but it was like, I knew the problem going into this deck was Derevi having trouble winning the game. Right.
Right.
So like from that very moment, I was like, all right, we're setting up the synergies to be able to draw a ridiculous amount of cards as soon as possible. Right. But then everything else I'm focusing on is like, I'll fit my interaction pieces in here. I'll fit my staples in here. But I want to make sure I can actually win the game, right? Which is why, you know, I'm making the choice to play very silly cards like Chromatic Orrery, right? Because mm-hmm. like at the end of the day, it makes a lot of the stupid math, a lot of the puzzling, a lot of stuff like that. It just, it stops it, you know? Right. Then if you're mana flooded, it actually converts to card draw too.
That's one of the things where I think that we're starting to see, I think Kinnan really kind of brought this to light. Where we started to see maybe the lean package of like, oh, these expensive cards aren't as, you know, playable. And then we've gotten cards like Chromatic Orrery where I've started to see that popping up in like a more deck list now. Maybe not as frequently as a thing like Hullbreaker Horror, but I think those types of cards, we're starting to realize that there's a little bit more utility to those than we have given them credence.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. Good to see you do well. Today, we are wanting to talk about, you specifically were very interested in talking about the 14th Doctor from the Doctor Who Secret Lair.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cool card. We now have David Tennant on two magic cards. And
double David all the time. I guess my like starting off point here is like, why is this an episode? Right.
Right.
And to me, I was like, oh, cool. We did an entire set review on Doctor Who. Right. And now here we are, a month and a half later, maybe 2 months later. Right.
Something like that, yeah.
And here comes two of the best, basically like doctor companion combos that have been printed in the Secret Lair, which is
frustrating,
vaguely upsetting from just a player perspective, right? The idea that you can be like, oh, I'm so excited to buy all these Doctor Who cards, and it's like, but also I can't believe I bought all four of these commander decks and now I have to spend another $50-ish to acquire these other two, right? So like not a big fan of that. I think
it's not super consumer friendly, which is
it's a little insulting to the player base, if I'm being honest. You know, I have no problem calling Wizards out when they do
a little Ian, you're an ambassador. Right? Don't you suckle on their teat?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, but this is kind of one of the big issues. Like I love Secret. Like genuinely, I love Secret Lair's product. As soon as I got a chance to like work on some of the Secretversary stuff, I literally was like emailing the Wizards rep to be like, hi, like I actually really want to work on this project. I really like Secret Lair. I'm at the point in my CDH career where like I'm not buying a ton of cards, but Secret Lair for me is like one of those things that allows you to have individualized expression with your decks, right? Like it allows you to have cards that you enjoy, nice arts, fun stuff, right? So when they're using it for stuff like this, it disappoints me because it feels like this doesn't send the message that people like me really like about Secret Lair. Like this isn't about individualized creativity. This is about like and I think also a part of this is, to be fair, is the fact that they released this upon releasing the special, which wasn't out by the time the commander decks were out. So like, I think maybe we can cut them a bit of slack as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
I think this was a timed release kind of thing. I just wish the mechanics. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say, right? Because like this is very clearly the words of the 14th Doctor, right? Like, this is canonically, it makes a lot of sense. Just it sucks timing wise, you know.
In my opinion, I would have rather have had this in the main set, in the set drop around Christmas time, instead of having
the fix. Exactly.
I think that would have been the better scenario because I don't know that because now we have like this, like they've had this consistent drop schedule, right? And now there's just this weird, like everybody's talked about this, there's this weird gap in the year now where we're all just kind of like, well, Ravnica Remastered isn't out yet.
What's happening?
But we have all the spoilers for that and this set's not out yet, so I guess we're just sitting here.
And we're getting like Murders spoilers, which doesn't come out till like February or something like that. Like, it's bizarre.
It does feel bizarre. I agree with you, but this is a cool card.
Yeah. So when Phoenix has been
DMing us about this card, we're in a group chat with Phoenix, and he just spam texts us about this card like for hours.
Right. So I will say I was thinking about this card when I first saw it. Right. And I was like, okay, like. And I just sort of forgot about the main mechanic of this set, which was the Doctor's Companion thing, right?
Right.
So I was like, yeah, okay, like this card's kind of mid, like it's four colors, sure, whatever. And not realizing that this is the best companion enabler of any of the Doctors printed so far, right?
Yep.
Because what this does is, at minimum, This is a 4-color outlet in the command zone. Because you have, if you cast it infinitely, right, you basically have to play like a dead card in your deck, right? Which the specific dead card they fixed, or did they? No, because you have to play one of the doctors. Oh, yeah, you play the food chain doctor. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is the third doctor. So that's your dead card in the deck. You play your food chain doctor. You recast the 14th doctor until you dig through your deck and put the third doctor into the graveyard. And what this gives you is at minimum 4 colors in the command zone, right? So the 14th doctor plus any sort of doctor's companion, right? So there is one and a half black companions, right? So we have the Viler Turlo thing, which is kind of mediocre, if I'm being honest. I think he's pretty rough. Do you want to pull him up on screen?
Well, yeah, I just went right to the good one.
Oh yeah, and then there's Clara, right? Which is the one that doesn't really work with this commander, right? I guess. Yeah, I mean you dig 28 deep and then like
it doesn't add a whole lot, but
right, is kind of the idea there, right? So that's sort of the concept with this one, right? So what is this an infinite mana outlet for, right? So it's a food chain outlet, right? You get to cast the 14th doctor over and over again. And right, so the thing with Clara is that you can make her any color, right? So
you have five, make her black.
Yeah, so you either play Viler because you want a Neoform or Eldritch Revolution, or you play Clara because you want a Neoform or Eldritch Revolution. Really doesn't matter. I mean, I will say if you play Clara, you can Neoform and Eldritch her into a Hullbreaker Horror, which then allows you to go off at the 14th Doctor. But like, I've heard of worse things to do, you know? So that's a 5-color deck right there, right? So now we have a 5-color deck with a food chain outlet in the command zone. You have to play one worse card than the first sliver, right? You can play your Teamer Sabretooth Lions. You can't play Emile Dockside because the dig 14 cards deep part is a cast trigger, right? So,
But you just have it enter as a clue, or you can enter as once you get the third doctor, it doesn't matter.
Replacement effects don't allow you to, because it'll return to the zone.
It enters as a copy. So it would see the third doctor in the graveyard.
Well, that's not the point. My point is the fact that, there's a problem with that too, but let's talk about it in a second, right? It's the fact that you cast it once, say it's not in the top 14 cards of your library, right? Mm-hmm. With Emile Dockside, I don't think you can get it back in the command zone, right? Because when you exile it,
that just raw,
So that's what I'm saying. Because it's not like you can choose to replace it and put it back in the command zone with the Emile's ability, right? Because it's tied to one static thing that returns it to the battlefield, right? So that's the problem with it, right? So if it's not in the top 14 cards, you can't do Emile Dockside, right? Which kind of makes this a little bit worse, for that aspect of it. Sorry about the semantics there, audience. But it is quite relevant. So you can Teamer Dockside, you can Lord Dracus, you can Cloudstone Curio, you can Baron Master Wizard, right? You can do all, or Meticulous Excavation, right? All of the standard Dockside loot, except for Emile, right? So like 95% of them, that's not bad, right? You can, I guess you can like iterate it too. No, you can't do that.
No, you can't do any of the flicker stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the flicker stuff doesn't work, right? So, okay, that's covered canonically. That is the stuff that does not work, right?
Yep.
But then you have a 5-color deck with infinite mana outlet. And it's like, question is this better than the first sliver? I don't know that that's the case. I think you have to play one worse card, right? That's like, it's an interesting predicament. I will say it wins a little cleaner. First lever in some sense, right? But the other problem,
something
the
deck, we've learned recently, just in general, is that these worse commanders than the first sliver end up just being cleaner wins than the first sliver. Like we kind of talked about that with what was it, Tiamat, where you know, for people who haven't seen your deck tech on Tiamat, is Tiamat really is a very clean chain outlet in the command zone, whereas not that the first sliver isn't, but it's just like you play a lot of it. It lacks an identity. And it's like if you're going to play five color low to the ground food chain like that, why aren't you playing a deck that has either better advantage in the command zone or playing a deck that has more like of an identity, I guess. And so that's kind of been my experience with the first sliver, is seeing how it's just like, oh, this deck is just like milk toast.
Yeah, Amorph is five color blob for sure. I will also say, like, if the whole Breaker Horror stuff appeals to you, if you like the Neoform Eldritch Evolution type stuff, definitely making this more of a creature based food chain deck is kind of attractive for this list, right? Like the idea that you can get your whole breakers out, and that's suddenly a win con for this deck, is like definitely something. I mean, you can always do that in the first sliver too, right? But like you can't Neoform into it, right? So that's something to think about. Another combination that I think is a little more relevant, actually, than the five color one, is the 14th Doctor plus K9. Because that
with what
opens with the K9 companion.
Oh, K9,
which is the one drop, right? Because that starts to be like, okay, now I'm seeing like a competitive reason to play this four color food chain option. And it's, the answer is I have a one drop in the command zone. That turns on my Fierce Guardianships and my Mox Ambers and my Mox Opals and my, you know, X Springleaf Drums and like all of these cards, right? So like now I'm starting to see like, okay, here is kind of where I'm attracted to this card as a brewing option a little bit more than some of the other ones mentioned, right? So you still play the one bad card in the deck, right? Which is fine, right? I'm not really butthurt about it. but I think it creates a lot of interesting opportunities as a four color deck, right? So it doesn't grind like a Thrasios deck, right?
Right.
But in the sense that it, unlike Yoshimaru and Rogrek and Francisco, it's a four color option that has like a cheap commander that you don't mind being expendable, right?
You know what it reminds me of, if I'm being honest, is it makes me think of Atraxa if Atraxa as itself was lower to the ground.
Yeah,
because you get the same advantage of having the win in the command zone while also having the low mana value, like things that turn on your cards in the command zone as well.
Right. And I kind of like a part of me really likes this option as like, so for example, there's been a lot of these like Thrasios, Akiri Breach decks that have been around, right? And to me, this is pretty attractive because you can then suddenly have like your four color Sands Black Rogrek in K9. Like once again, I think turning on Mox Opal is actually really huge, right? Like you need one more artifact to turn on Mox Opal. It turns on Mox Amber, turns on Fierce, turns on Deflecting. And I guess the other two that aren't relevant, but like, yeah, you don't have black for sure. Like, it's
what you mean you don't want to play Obscuring Haze?
Yeah, my bad. but I think K9's actually like kind of real, and the fact that you can have K9 plus a four color shell around it is actually really cute and really powerful. Maybe
I think adding the fourth color is what makes it attractive, because I think when we were looking at it at three color, I'm like,
For sure. That's exactly where I was
at. It's a little more compelling at four colors.
Yes. So I really think as a low to the ground underworld breach style food chain deck, right? Like really efficient stuff. You're playing like 24 lands. I'm talking about like, you know, like Savine's Reclamation Intuition lines. You're playing Tinder Walls and all of the early Jammet stuff. Plus you get food chain. Plus you get Sans Emil Dockside line, right? So like now I'm starting to be like, okay, like that actually feels like a real reason to be playing the 14th Doctor as a card over other options that are available. Whereas the five color one kind of like half sells me on like, oh yeah, you can do some
clears there. It doesn't really add a ton, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the K9 14th Doctor stuff is definitely the most appealing. Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how you would if this is just similar enough to Omnath, because I like four color Omnath as a very similar deck as well. Because I think that deck also, I know Sage hasn't done much with it in a minute, yeah. But that's like the deck that I'm like feels the most like Atraxa adjacent, as far as that makes sense.
And this is why I like this version of it specifically, yeah. Because every time I go to build four color Omnath, I go, oh, the command zone is mostly dead.
Yeah.
Because the speed of the format right now, you cannot afford to pay Jelly Bean's mana cost. You cannot. Like, it is just not a viable option. And even then, you draw a single card from it. And then you have to play a four-color card and then wait till the next turn to maybe play a Fetch Kraken and get some mana, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like, I've done enough testing with variations of that list because I find it to be a very intriguing card, right?
Right.
So I've done a lot of like looking into it, and well, it just
we've every seen it in time, other formats. Like it's very clearly strong, right?
Right, right. And so, you know, I've looked at it from that perspective for CEDH, and it's like, yeah, it's basically a bad Kenrith a lot of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, unfortunately,
right.
So pivoting off of that idea, right? Like here now we have this, like, okay, like the early enabling is like, I think, like, I can't stress enough how huge that is, right? Like all of your stuff being on early, like turning on sacrifice effects, turning on commander effects, like all of those things being able to come down and once again playing like a 24 land breach deck in these colors, mm-hmm. is like actually kind of viable. And I genuinely think I could be very convinced that we will see this top 16, that combination specifically.
Yeah. Well, if somebody builds it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Ian.
I'm probably going to mess around with this combo for sure.
Yeah.
The biggest downside for me, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that I can see going awry the most, right? Is if you end up in like a scenario where you make infinite mana, right? Mm-hmm. You go through Emile Dockside, right? Or not Emile Dockside, sorry. We just covered that.
Buchinko. Buchain.
Yeah. Infinite mana. You made food chain. Perfect. You made food chain. You go, okay, now I'm going to cast the 14th Doctor, right? Your opponent now has this opportunity. Here's the scenario, right? I cast the 14th Doctor. I'm going to go through my library. I go through. Okay, here, I found the third Doctor. I put it in my graveyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cast, exile the 14th Doctor and going to cast it again.
Mm-hmm.
I get hit with a silence.
Mm-hmm.
Now half of my deck doesn't.
Right.
So for context, because the 14th Doctor has the stipulation that it only allows it to become a copy of a Doctor in your graveyard that was put there from your library this turn.
Right.
So if one of your Doctors hits the graveyard, or specifically your one outlet, supposedly, and this is kind of the argument to maybe look at playing two, but then the second one or all the other ones don't work with food chain.
Yeah.
Blame.
I think,
I don't know if all of them don't work with food chain. I actually will have to check that.
I think that might be the biggest like hesitation I have with it, yeah. Is when I see how easily it is to get just, I think the biggest downside to it is, when you look at Tiamat. You just brewed that deck, right?
Yeah.
We look at that as a food chain deck. It's a deck that when your breach line or whatever line you're on doesn't work, that's a big deal. I have this other line that works on a different axis in the command zone or over here. The big and most food chain decks operate that way, right? Where you have, Atraxa works, everything's out of the zone, all that stuff. You have even Omnath, where once your graveyard, like, it doesn't matter if your graveyard is, gone. This is one of those things where, like, a single piece of grave disruption also just completely, pulls you to a complete halt.
Yes, that too. Right. And it doesn't help that the breach lines also get hit by that.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that part's very valid. I
think that's my only hesitation.
Okay, so actually you can also play the Eighth Doctor, I will say, because the Eighth Doctor, ETB mill 3, once during each of your turns, you may play a historic land or cast a historic permanent spell from your graveyard. So you can recast the Third Doctor. Out of your own, no, because then it doesn't work with food, right? Because you cast it out of your graveyard, then you exile it, but it's not your command.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love that this has happened multiple times during the show where we're like, okay. Yeah, figure it out on the fly and see if it works on this.
Fine. We didn't plan this episode. The Mind Sculptor's Christmas holiday bonanza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was very much a, you texted me earlier today. It's like, hey, you still want to record? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, so like that is the biggest downside I see of this deck. Like, yeah. I think the deck is actually kind of real. Mm-hmm. The K914. I think that the biggest downside is for sure that this is definitely a reason to like play your Noxious Revivals and stuff like that, right? Because that's a card I've been like kind of low on as a mm-hmm. But in this deck specifically, being able to put that back in the library is very good for what your deck.
Yeah.
I will say you're right, the graveyard hate thing does matter. I will say we're also in green white, which is like two of the colors that give graveyard hate the biggest bird in the entire world, right? So
that's true, but the issue is that your win lines both are graveyard like centric in a yes. in a non black no, I agree. Yeah, yeah, like in a non black deck, I think that's a little awkward. But I mean, I don't think that's a reason not to play it. I just think that's a like
Well, it doesn't get stopped at Graf Diggers, which is interesting. Correct. Yeah. So that is worth noting.
Yeah.
It's really only Rest in Peace, which I, knock on wood, haven't seen anyone actually play in a serious match. In
well, or you know what? Let's be real here. Dothy Voidwalker just
that's a good one.
Bends you over backwards, right?
Yes. Like much much more relevant example. But yes, that's why you play your Soul Partition.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's my only concern is I think that
I think it's a very valid and real concern for sure.
Like the silence and the grave hate stuff is the two things where I go, oof, because I don't feel like other food chain decks get hit that same way by like they get hit by the silence, but they can restart. Right.
Yeah.
This feels like a deck where you have to play Time Twister.
I don't know that that's true, right? You have like Endurance and Eternal Witness and all the.
Right? You have to play an amount of things that put stuff back in your grave.
Sure, sure. But I think a lot of decks nowadays are getting away with that, right? Like Maedra Evilas doesn't play Time Twister. Dominic Arthrasios, I don't play Time Twister, right? Like all those decks are like playing Ewit and stuff like that anyways, right? So you already sort of have like Sabretooth and things like that to be able to bop off of them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I genuinely think this combo is pretty real, even with the downsides that we've illustrated. I think the five color option is considerably less real.
I don't think it's that exciting. I think Tiamat's more interesting.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I also want to talk while we're transitioning out of this. I think I think we highlighted the highs and lows.
Yeah,
this
I think so.
Combo enough. The other card in that drop that's very relevant is Rose Noble, right? Mm-hmm. Which is our new Doctor's Companion. And this is one of the reasons I was kind of like bitching about this combo, right? Is that like this is two of the best Doctor/partner combos that have come out, right? Because Rose is a fantastic Dockside outlet and infinite mana outlet and food chain outlet, right?
Right.
So for all the things we just mentioned, just it's Ward 2/3 for 3 and a blue. Whenever you cast Doctor Spell or a creature with Doctor Companion, you draw a card, right? So say you have food chain, you just play Rose first, then you play your Doctor over and over and over and over and over again, draw your entire deck. You have Dockside lines, you make infinite mana, you play your Baron, your team or Sabretooth, any of those things, play them over and over and over and over and over again. You draw your entire deck, right? So now all of the Doctors that don't have blue in their identity, there was one that had Investigate. There was a companion that had Investigate on ETB, which is like a little bit worse, right? That's definitely a different type of deck. Whereas this one is like, okay, now we get food chain lines, we get Dockside lines, like now Hullbreaker Horror lines too, right? So like these are all, I guess the other one works with Hullbreaker.
but like this is all of those in one package, right? So I know a lot of people were looking at like the War Doctor as a potential deck, doing a lot of like crazy exile and, you know, phase out stuff, right? But and I just think that deck's a lot more viable when it has a companion that actually
supports what it's doing outlet,
right? Like it actually goes to win the game, right? So like Jeskai War Doctor I think is actually pretty cool. Let's see what other, I mean, even like any of the other doctors I think are actually pretty interesting with this as the backup. Now a number of them do have blue already, right? The War Doctor is one of the very few that doesn't have blue, which makes sense, follow the right. But yeah, I think for the War Doctor specifically, this is probably the best one to come out. And then I guess like any of the other ones that you're kind of interested in don't have fantastic outlets, right? So any of these other ones that you think like maybe have a viable effect, like for example, the Fifth Doctor, which is just like a Seedborn Muse, right? Like now it also has an outlet in the command zone too, right?
Right.
So, you know, the interesting stuff. Like, I don't know how much like blue, white, infinite mana or infinite flicker outlet plus Seedborn Muse is for a Nazorius deck, but like it's something that we now have the ability to explore, right? Yeah. Like which we didn't have before. So I think it's all pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's all interesting. I think the biggest issue that I end up having with these is that they're Doctor Who cards. And I know that sounds like listen, I know there are going to be people who feel this way next year with Marvel. Like, I get it. Yeah. I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not dogging on these cards. It's mostly for me, it's like really hard to like get excited about it because it's just like not a thing that I vibe with. Yeah. So it's just like all of these cards, I'm just kind of like, yep, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I want my high fantasy stuff, please.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that is definitely like, that's not the hot take. A lot of people have that, right?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I think that's just kind of the thing with Universes Beyond nowadays, right?
I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Like, not everything has to be like tailored for me, right?
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who I've noticed, like, so I did a poll for my deck for this tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And by point, or no, like one percentage point, the Turbo One Ring deck beat a Doctor Who partner combination, mm-hmm. right? Like, so there's definitely a thirst for this type of combination out there, right? People are definitely looking for these commanders, right? I had, even had people commenting like, hey, I know this just lost the poll barely, but do you have the combination you're thinking of? And one of the reasons I didn't pivot to that was because I was like, oh, hey, the best versions of these aren't printed yet. I'm going to wait till those are legal, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, you know, all of that being said, I think it's really interesting that these very powerful ones have come out. Where we already sort of covered the downside of the fact that they have come out now, comparatively, right?
Right.
But the upside is that we get some new cool decks. I think
they are genuinely cool too. Like, yeah, I think that what they do is like very unique.
Yeah,
and like I think it brings like a good flavor to the format.
Yeah. Like I think K9 and 14th Doctor specifically are like ones I'm really, really excited about in this combination. I know I sort of mentioned it, but like that is one that I feel motivation to like get off this call and go build, right? Like that is something I can't say about every commander we talk about on here, right? So that is at least appealing to me. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, part of that problem is going through the thing we talked about, which is like, okay, I have to remember that silence will just ruin me, right? Like a well-timed silence for my opponent, right? Now, on the other hand, we're in the same colors as Ranger Captain Silence, Grand Abolisher, and Kutsu, right? So, like, little column A, little column B, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, like, it's stuff that you can deal with, right? So it's, like, not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I am, meanwhile, heavily considering taking this to Cincinnati.
That's your Jeskai Krom list?
Yeah, Arden Krom.
Arden Krom. Yep.
Just because I just really believe in this deck and I just really need to spend time playing it. And like, I think Tivit is just like, it's really good and it's, I need to play something spicy, Ian. I need to play something spicy. I need to play a Cal classic.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking about. And there's also like a lot of new cool things too that it can do. That's pretty neat. The new lines that are opened up because of Forge Anew is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But well, what are your plans for Christmas, my friend?
Oh, I'm jingling. I'm belling.
You're jingling.
Yeah.
All the way.
No, I'm seeing family. Yeah. Spend some time around here. Spend some time back home. All that stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. And then Cincinnati.
And then we do Cincinnati. Yeah, I don't know. That is my next tournament, I guess, unless I do the Lotus qualifier at the end of the month, which I'm not.
Yeah,
sure. Here's my question, and I think this is a good question to ask while we have an audience here. When is the 14th Doctor legal?
That's a very good question.
Right? Like,
I think like that's my biggest issue with Secret Lair, like direct to Secret Lair cards, right? Is when they are legal to play is like a giant question mark, because, you know, when are they legal to play in Commander? Well, the Commander Committee, you know, per them, it's when pre-release. You have them.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it's just when you have them
for Secret Lair cards that are like straight to Secret Lair. They did that for Walking Dead. And because remember, like those didn't have a pre-release. Right. These are effectively the Walking Dead all over again.
Yes. Right.
Not to trigger our entire audience, but
no, it's okay. I'm just like genuinely like, this is very interesting because I'm like Googling it now and I don't have an official. Okay, here we go. For Article of 2020, Commander Rules Committee addresses the legality of Secret Lair X to Walking Dead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is not about the. This was a public statement about them not
banning those cards.
Yeah. Come on.
That was a fun thing when people were like, ban these cards that they printed. I'm sure people in our comments will be super responsible and not talk about that at all.
That's so interesting.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Before we go.
Before we go,
You know, Christmas, it is Christmas Day when this releases. So what is your Christmas wish for CEDH, Ian?
I mean, honestly, I'm definitely a kind of player who likes to take the format as is, roll with the punches, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I would prefer a CEDH without Orcish Bowmen. That would be my
your Christmas wish.
I genuinely, it's not that I think the card is overtly powerful. I just think it's game warping and it's boring. It is incredibly boring. And the first person to get a Bowmasters warps the game drastically. And then this second person to get a clone controls their Bowmasters for a long period of time until, and like, this is just what the tournament scene looks like right now. And I'm so bored of it.
You don't think
I'm
that's so fun?
Bored of it. No, I don't. I don't think it's fun at all. And it's like, I love being a tournament grinder. I love doing all this stuff. And I'm aware that there are upsides and downsides when it comes to competitive format. But like that card specifically, come on, God, like, please, let's figure out something.
Yeah.
And if it never gets banned, I will be a big boy.
Continue to sleep at night.
Yeah, I'll be okay, right? Like, it's not like I'm not one of those people who is going to go on a playing with power video that has Bowmasters and be like, ban this card. I can't believe you played a Bowmasters game, right? But like, what I will do is look at the card and go, man, just like, can you not? Like, can you please not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could you play anything else?
It's just like it's not a matter of like being too strong. It's just for meta diversity. It drastically warps the meta in one way. And I'm not saying I want stacks back. I just want to not have to worry about like this card just like ruining one ones forever. Like just making green a less
slightly better
color. Yeah. Like like the reason Derevi worked is because it was trivial to kill Derevi because it just came back. You know what right. I mean? Like all the other, or in like the reason it's trivial to kill Kinnan is it costs 2 and then it costs 4 and then it costs 6. And guess what? Kinnan can do that.
Right.
And then the other green decks in the format, if you notice, are Atraxa, which is a 7/7 and Quiet otherwise. Right. Like,
yeah.
So I just genuinely think like it's just a disappointing effect on the format. And, you know, as I said, it's not going to ruin my love for this game. I love it too much, way too much for that. Right. It's right. just something I wish was not there. Yeah. And it's so easy to play bad. It's so easy to mess up this card because you are making, you know, between 5 to 30 micro decisions every turn yep. with this card. Right. Which drastically affects the table. You know, you draw one, you put a ping on someone's commander. They're like, oh, well, I was going to draw another card to help deal with the problem, but now you're going to kill my commander. So now I don't want to draw the card. And oh, that person won because I didn't draw my counterspell. And it's like that stuff mm-hmm. is just so easy to happen. I'm not saying it's like every single game once again, it's very easy for those things to accidentally come up. Right. And that's not what I love in the format.
Well, man, I think that sounds like the best, most engaging Magic I could possibly play. What are you talking about? No, I totally agree. My Christmas wish would be I tell you, I would really like Golos to be unbanned really deeply. Or Paradox Engine.
There's so many cards that I would love for a CDH for unbans. Gifts Ungiven, why is that even still on there, right? Like,
even from a casual perspective, I still don't think it needs banned, but I could do a whole podcast on the cards that don't need banned that are on the ban list. But maybe look out for that in 2020. Or 2024. But I think that Golos is the type of deck that I wish, or the type of commander that I wish was around. You know, I like to play 5-color like artifact decks, and it was a really cool commander. And then to lose that commander because people weren't creative with how they built land decks is
every annoying casual commander makes a great CEDH commander for meta diversity.
Uh-huh.
Golos, Derevi, Grand Arbiter. Let's see what else.
There's been somebody,
Corvold, Hullin, Atraxa, right? Like all of these, they're like, we would love to see these cards in CEDH, right?
The answer is stop playing them in casual spaces. They're not casual cards, guys.
For sure.
I don't want to rant, but
I don't know if you can canonically say that you don't want to rant.
Well, okay, so the thing is, there are so many times when I'm playing like a casual game and people are playing like fucking fetch lands in Mana Crypts, Mox Diamonds. And I'm just like, why are you playing a bad CEDH deck? Like if we're going to play powerful like this, then let's fucking do it. And I would have brought my CEDH deck to the table. But if we're going to play watered down, if we're going to play casual, then let's play casually and let's not like turbo stuff out. Right. You know, I've never seen anybody play a Mox Diamond and be like, oh, no, it's fair. Like the only time I've ever seen that is like in a Titania deck. And that's just because it like discards a land for Titania. And it's like, OK, sure. But like, there's so many times when I see people build these decks where I'm just like, it just feels like people are playing bad competitive decks. And I just play competitive. Like, honestly, those are people that drive me nuts because they ruin the rest of the format for everybody. Hot take express, but bring back Bolos or Paradox Engine, either works. I would deeply love Paradox Engine to come back, but you know,
this might be a screaming into the void kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's fine. It's my void.
It's my void and I'm going to yell into it now.
Well, next week to start off the new year, we will have Ryan from Playing with Power to do the definitive 2023 tier list. Well, I guess we're not doing a tier list. I guess we're doing the definitive power rank. The definitive 2023
power tier rank list.
Yes. So Ryan will be joining us, which is really exciting. We kind of didn't do the annual tier list this year because we started doing the power rankings every month. So in order to kind of replace that, we're having Ryan join. So that'll be exciting. Ian, where can people find you for coaching and all that?
Hello, everybody. My name is Ian. You can find me over youtube.com/comedianmtg for all of my tournament-based CH content specifically. You can, find the deck tech of the Derevi deck we talked about, which we'll go into more detail, as well as it should be a combination deck tech slash round breakdown from that recent tournament, as well as probably a breakdown of the tournament itself. Doing busy stuff last week, this week, whenever you see this, who cares? But yeah, you can also find me over at comedianmtg@gmail.com. You can find me on Discord and Twitter, Discord @comedian_mtg or at comedianmtg on Twitter. DM me at any of those places and ask about CEDH coaching. I'll give you the details about that. It's really fun and surprisingly active during the holidays, which I really appreciate because honestly, the tournament scene is still going all the time, which is sick. Like the Lotus qualifier online events are like at the end of the month between Christmas and New Year's. You know what I mean? Like stuff is still happening, right? So it's sick. And then we have Cincinnati right after that. So CEDH is not stopping. No one's taking a break. So, kind of cool.
And if you want to support both of us and support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/mindsculptors. You can also use our TCG player link in the description to help support the show when you are buying your Orcish Bowmaster. Like, if you're going to play Orcish Bowmasters in Terrorized Ian, the least you could do is use our TCG player link and, give us something in return for that.
Just like a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's not much. It's just a little, just a little.
Just a wee bit.
Just a little. Toby. just a little bit. So thank you all for that. And Ian, I have to ask. Yeah. Do you support troops?
Like a BoJack reference? What's happening here?
You know, like, because I heard there's a Marine who
this is John Cena. Are you John Cena?
And his name is John Cena. This is Mind Sculptors. We'll see you next year.
Bye.